Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's time for Barbecue Nation with JT. So fire up your grill, light the charcoal, and get your smoker cooking. Now, from the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland, here's JT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Nation. I'm Jeff Tracy, along with Barbecue Hall of Fame member and my radio wife and partner, Leanne Whippin, coming to you from our respective Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in Portland and Tampa and anywhere else there's great barbecue. We've got a great guest today, Eric G. from around the house. But first, we want to say thank you to the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. So our good buddy, Eric G., comes on the show a couple times a year. He's got a wonderful show. If you've not heard it, you should have, called Around the House. It's a DIY show. It's the best show in the nation, as far as I'm concerned on that. Except I can't get him to come down and fix this light switch at my house. Anyway, he just got back from Vegas and the hardware show. And so we're going to be talking about all the cool barbecue stuff and outdoor stuff that Eric saw in Vegas. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me on today. Always a good time. And you never agreed to my hourly rate there, JT. So that's why the trip fee is kind of big to your house.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's hard to get me to commit to things. But when I do, I do. So I just leave it at that.
And, you know, that is in pounds and it's not British. It's in beef that we
talk. it's in dead moo cow.
Absolutely.
Dead moo cow. What was happening in Vegas besides you? Did you get another tattoo while you were down there?
No, I just got duct tape. That was it.
He got duct tape to a local news lady who was, I've never seen Eric duct tape to anybody that was not attractive in the first place, but this one was exceptional. He was carrying her around by her wrist because they were literally like in the old, pre-Revolutionary War days where they used to tie a string around them, you know, your wrists and stuff. Anyway, what did you see besides all the fun stuff like that, the goofy stuff barbecues?
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff down there. And, you know, there was a huge area outside. There was some inside stuff. I noticed a couple things. One, outdoor living, again, was massive. There were everything from handmade $6,000 kind of lifestyle barbecue things to your finest made in China, you know, $200 grills there. So there was a big, huge trend of all of that. But there was probably a dozen companies with their own outdoor pizza oven and various versions of that. And some of them were pretty cool. Some of them were kind of standard, but there was a lot of cool stuff out there that I was like, oh, even those guys are making a outdoor pizza oven now.
You know, pizza ovens, we did some on Grilling at the Green last year when Leanne was up. We were filming that stuff, and we didn't have an actual pizza oven, but we've done it. I've done it on TV a few times with the smokers and stuff. Mm-hmm. But pizza ovens have really gained, if you will, in popularity for outdoor kitchens over the last few years, because they're simple, they're quick. You can do more than cook pizza in it. And I think it also gives people a bit of a comfort zone, maybe not the live fire one, but the gas ones and stuff, because they can control the temperature a little better. It's a smaller unit. They're used to maybe baking in an oven indoors. And now you've got this smaller contraption, if you will, out there, and they can utilize it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I've got a wood-fired outdoor pizza oven, you know, the old school, like they've made in Italy since the beginning of time, or New York, or wherever else you want to say, and it works great. But yeah, it's a 2 hour plus warm-up time. So the propane natural gas ones are big there. And then the latest ones have a rotisserie where it's actually turning the pizza in them. So I saw about 6 or 7 different brands there that the center turns, and so you're not getting the hot and cold spots on the pizza. So pretty cool how that works.
Mm-hmm. What do you think as far as their popularity, Leanne? I mean, you're actually more in the heart of barbecue and outdoor cooking country than Eric and I are.
I have an Uni, so it's gas and wood. So you can do a combination, which is a really nice feature. And it doesn't have the spinner on it. And I found that, you know, when you're opening it, you do have to spin the piece because it gets very hot in the back. So that's a very nice added feature. But it comes with a it came with a cast iron piece that you can do, you know, fajitas on. So it is multifunctional. And with the outdoor kitchens, it's like people were doing, you know, their smoker's a grill is one. And then, you know, then the flat top is another. And it's like people, they just want to get bigger and better. And it adds nice aesthetics. I always have a time with that word.
Aesthetics?
To the kitchen, you know, a nice shape form. It comes in colors, you know. So I think it's a great piece to add.
Yeah, I do too. And they're not that expensive. Comparatively,
some of them are expensive, you know, with all the bells and whistles, but yeah. You can get some for, you know, not too bad.
A few hundred bucks.
There's people I saw there that I didn't think would have them, like Solo Stove that you see out there, Cuisinart, outdoor living. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was very mainstream with some of the typical brands you see out there on all the ads and TV.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. No, I'm looking forward to, gaining my own personal one here that we can also use on the shows. I think, you know, the other thing I like about them too, this is just me, I'm being serious for one second here, is they're smaller. Outdoor kitchens, you can get gargantuan, as you know, and they cost a lot of money. They're worth it, obviously, I think, if you're going to do that. The folks at Grill Grills, you know, they supplied us with stuff for the TV show, and it's great, you know, and they're nice, and it's all stainless and all that. But to have something that's multifunctional like that and not have to take up more than a section of a countertop, if you will, I think is a big plus.
Yeah. I mean, my outdoor pizza oven takes up a 5x5 area, just the oven.
Yeah. And then you gotta have stack the wood and do all that stuff too. So you've got to have that.
One of my other favorite things that I saw there was something I'd never seen before. It was called by a company called Gather. And so it was a round, kind of a community grill, kind of almost like you're going into Benihana and there's a cook at the end and everybody's sitting around it. It had this very round kettle that was probably 36 inches around, maybe 42, depending on the size. And it had half flat top, half grill, and it had charcoal underneath it where it was just a natural charcoal. And that center spin, so you could rotate the grill on a hot, cold, in the flat top on the hot, cold area. And then it had pop-up countertop around the outside of the circle. So you could be sitting there and you could put six people around the outside of it and be cooking in the middle. Kind of like here at Benihana's or something, but super cool. And man, they were cranking eggs and breakfast sandwiches in the morning. That's where you went by to get food because they had to just crank it along, but really cool from Gather. And the sides would pop up and down, so it kind of compact down pretty well.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It was super cool.
I've cooked on an Evo before, which is it's just a flat top, if you will, all the way around. It's domed a little bit in the center, so everything runs into the catch trough around the outside of it. And those are, you know, it's community oriented, community grilling, if you will, out there. And you know, you can cook your shrimp and your noodles over here, you can cook a hamburger hash over here at the same time. They're big enough to do that. But I like that idea that from Gather even better. So you could get in there and do multiple things and share the warmth, as you might say.
Yeah. He had his breakfast sausages sitting there on the fire, and then he had the eggs going and bacon on the flat top, and he was just cranking along. So that was a cool product. That one grabbed my attention. I was like, all right, that's cool. I need to build a spot.
So how much did you get on your shirt?
Ah, see, that's the one nice things about wearing automotive style shirts. They're meant for things to come off. Little dirt gets on here, little grease comes right off. That's one of my secret tips. If you wear the automotive style shirts, they're meant to get dirty and the grease doesn't stay.
Yeah, it doesn't look, you can't get away with that with golf shirts.
Ah,
you know, just doesn't work very well on that. Yeah. So, first of all, tell people how big this show is. We got about a minute and a half before we go to break, but how big is the hardware show? I mean, people hear about it. It's kind of like, you know, the electronics show, the SHOT show, all these big shows, but most people can't get to them or don't have the time to even try. But what all do you see at a show like that?
Yeah, so they take up at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which I think is either number one or number two. I think it's number one right now for the largest convention center in the U.S. It's between that and Orlando. They're always adding on and going back and forth. It's kind of like the world's tallest building competition. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody trying to do better, but they take up what's the new hall, which is the West Hall. So it's probably that West Hall with everything that they're doing over there is probably 750,000 square feet just in that hall inside. And so you think about that, that's probably six Home Depot stores if you were to try to put that into that. And that's all little booths. And then outside they have another space that's probably another 7 to 10 acre spot there that's all outside booths. So it's like a massive trade show just in hardware. It's not one of the biggest ones, but it's definitely one of the biggest ones for hardware by itself without getting all the other building stuff. So basically the National Hardware Show is a cool show that is everything you'd see in your neighborhood hardware store.
I like that. And some stuff you might not see.
Yeah, these are all guys trying to sit there and get their products into the Ace, True Values, you know, all those different guys out there in the neighborhood store. So all these guys are trying to get picked up by those guys. So you've got all those different people there.
Wow. I might have to go with you next year.
Heck yeah.
It's a good time. I'm not getting a tattoo. Ah. Leanne can get a tattoo. I don't.
No, thanks.
Oh, come on.
I got an idea. I think we can get you. I think we should get you one, JT. I think I got an idea for you.
My wife and daughter have tattoos. I'm kind of a wuss though. I don't want the needle. You know what I mean? We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with Eric G from Around the House and Miss Whippin and myself here on Barbecue Nation. We thank you for letting us share this time with you, and we're going to share a little more when we come right back. Hey everybody, it's Jeff here. I want to tell you about something really cool. Heritage Steel Cookware. I just got mine. I do a lot of cooking, and it's got 5-ply construction stay cool handles. It's titanium strengthened. It's got all the great stuff. Just go to heritagesteel.us and find out more. You'll love it. I guarantee it. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne Whippin. Very simple. We can go to our website, go to barbecuenationjt.com. Send us a message there. You can also listen to the older shows there. We're on all the different social media platforms. We have a number of Facebook pages and stuff. So we're not hard to find. But send us a note or make a comment on some of our social media postings. We appreciate that. And today we're talking with my good friend and Leanne's good friend, Eric Gorenson, known as Eric G from Around the House. It's a DIY show that's out there in the cyberverse like that. Eric's, and he also has his own Around the House Northwest show here on Fox in the Portland market. Does very good with that TV show too. So we're talking about Eric's trip to Vegas. Only part of his trip to Vegas are we allowed to talk about, but he went to the hardware show. What about the outdoor living stuff, the grills and the barbecues and the smokers and all that? I'm sure most of the name brands were there, but what else did you see that you could share with people?
There was another one that was really cool that really got my ideas going, and it was an outdoor kitchen portable unit, but it was a kitchen sink, and it had a kind of its own little gray water tank thing built into it and a hose extension. It's called Backyard Banger, and it looks kind of like the wet bar you'd see a hotel pull up, you know, for a conference room. And so the ends would pop up, and it has a sink, a power outlet that pops out of the countertop. But what's cool is it hooks right into the water coming out of your house. It had a little on-demand water heater in there and the whole thing. So it could either drain out or it would drain into a bucket and had a little alarm when it went off. So you could literally have an outdoor working kitchen without having to put all the plumbing in, just with a hose. So you just hooked it onto the garden hose and it has its own stainless steel hose that's rated for food. And then you could plug it into the wall and you had this whole outdoor power station going as well. Super trick. And then it folded up into its own little case. So it came down to be only like 4 foot by 2 foot. So it was pretty trick.
When it was fully extended and put together, how big was it?
Ah, man, it was roughly almost 8 feet. It really folded and extended out. So it was probably at least 7 feet on width. But when it folded down, it was down to about 4 by 2.
Was it kind of a bar thing where you could have people sitting on the other side on stools talking to you while you were working?
Yeah, it's you could, but the top was only probably because of the compact space was probably only about 8 inches on that side. So it wasn't like a big bar top, but it was definitely enough to put drinks up on if somebody was sitting over there with a stool and stuff. But it was really cool for something portable. And for those people maybe living in a condo or something that just wanted to roll it out there on their little patio and have a little party without having to build something in and follow all the rules.
Did you give it a test drive with setting the drinks on it?
I test drive everything before I talk about it. It is my gift to everyone.
It's all good. You said that there was a part that had a lot of outdoor furniture and stuff. And as we were talking in the first segment, I think people who are building outdoor kitchens, you know, on patios or pavers or whatever they have, they're also trying to, you know, make it look really nice and have it so that it's kind of inviting for people to come out, sit down, hang out, you know, share a drink or whatever while they're waiting for the food. And, you know, I will tell you that over the years, they haven't gotten overly creative with outdoor furniture and accoutrements to kitchens. But you were telling me that that's changed a bit.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going out there right now as far as outdoor furniture. East Oak was my favorite company there. Those guys really had some cool stuff as far as, you know, they've come so far with the textures and stuff out there where things don't get stained. It's all made out of like recycled pop bottles and stuff like that, where it's, you know, you don't have to worry about the sun fading. You don't have to worry about all those things. So there was a lot of different companies there with just really comfortable furniture that you could throw out in a non-covered area and be comfortable with it and let it take the weather a little bit without it just, you know, coming apart and getting hashed. So there's so many great fabrics now that feel good, but the sun's not going to fade them.
Can you just like hose them off or take your low PSI pressure washer and just kind of clean them up and towel them off and be good to go?
I'd probably get the hose out. I think the fabrics are so soft these days. It's not like the old stuff you could do that. The stuff's so soft, you might hurt it with the low PSI.
Yeah.
But I think since it's non-stainable, that it's just going to basically wash right off the top.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. So that's really cool. And then there was a ton of different things too in that same space as far as, you know, different little countertop torches and things like that, as well as a lot of the bigger patio umbrellas where they had the LED lights built into the ribs that hold up the fabric. And so it's all built into that. So you just plug the bottom of it in, crank it out. Everything's built in and nice and tight. So you're not worrying about all the little lights and cords and stuff that you get when you buy those $20 light kits that you put underneath your patio umbrella. These are built in and solid. So that was definitely a nice big trend.
I mean, not the ones like at my house where you hang a shop light on it with the little cage and the 60 watt bulb and then the old yellow extension cords that's got, you know, 15 reels of electrical tape to patch up the bare wires.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good, it's good for the mosquitoes though, because that does work pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there was a lot of great stuff like that I was impressed with. That was like, okay, there was a lot of that cool stuff there. And then, yeah, I mean, there was even a guy there that had a barbecue, a size of a carry-on luggage. So if you think about your carry-on luggage, you could actually take on the plane, not the ones that people try to sneak in that are bigger. But if you think about that, they had a barbecue that you folded out of a basically like a piece of luggage. It split down the middle. You could lay it on a wood top because it was insulated how they built it. Mm-hmm. And guy was sitting there grilling tomahawk steaks on it. On one side, he had a big pan with butter and had a full-size tomahawk on it, was cranking away on that thing. So
wow.
just so many cool little products like that. And then of course you had all the barbecue cleaners and the tools and the, you know, a lot of those people that are trying to get, you know, 4 feet of a grilling aisle in a hardware store. So there's a lot of that stuff as well.
Incredible. Incredible. Did they have any rubs and spices there?
Yeah, there was definitely some of that. There was definitely, you know, people had, they were kind of like a, like an 8x8 booth. So people had a mixture of stuff. So there were rubs and spices as well as the tools in there or cleaning stuff. You know, a lot of new products out there that are great for cleaning barbecues and that kind of stuff as well.
That's interesting. We're going to take another break. We're going to be back with Eric Goranson, Eric G from Around the House, and Ms. Whippin and myself here on Barbecue Nation in just a couple minutes. Got to do the business part. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's JT, and I have eaten, if you've ever looked at me, you know that, but I have eaten seafood all over the world, and I can tell you there's no place better than here in Oregon and our Dungeness crab. If you want to learn more about Oregon Dungeness crab, just go to OregonDungeness.org and find out how to cook it, how to catch it, where to buy it, and the sustainability of what they're doing there in the Oregon Crab Commission. Check it out. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Leanne and Eric, and Eric G, by the way. And we'd like to thank the folks at Painted Hills Natural Beef, beef the way nature intended. You can go to their website at PaintedHillsBeef.com. You see their story and some wonderful pictures and some film clips and stuff about how they take care of the cattle. And, you know, they are really kind of conscious of all that. But then you can also order products from there. So, and if you type in when you check out BBQ Nation, you get 15% off. So do that at PaintedHillsBeef.com. And also, here we go, Leanne. This is your deal. Pig powder, best rub on the planet.
Woohoo.
Yep. Tell us all
about it. All-purpose rub. My dad developed it many years ago, and it wins championships all the time. I just had a team. I don't know if they want to be mentioned or not, but they just got a perfect 180 in pork with pig powder, and he gave me a mention on his social media. So it's not just for pork, but for chicken and a lot of different other things.
Yes, it is. It's not good on Cheerios, I will tell you that.
Oh, yes, it is. Come on, I've tried it.
Good on scrambled eggs.
It's good on scrambled eggs. I made, what did I make the other day? Oh, a couple weeks ago, we were doing a local TV shoot here, and I was doing some crab stuff, and I had some crab leftovers. So that night I made us crab omelets for dinner, and I used some of the pig powder on that lightly in
that
the eggs.
Good. Mm-hmm.
It was very, very good. So go to pigpowder.com, and Leanne will make sure that you get your pig powder, and so order it today. We're talking with Eric G from Around the House here, and just got back from the hardware show in Vegas. I always like it when Eric calls me from the hardware show, because you can hear the, you know, all the noise in the background, and goes, dude, it's really cool. It's cool. It's, you know, and then somebody scampers away with him to some other part of the building, and he never gets to finish the story. So that's why he's here today. what was like your favorite of all the barbecue stuff you saw? That, you know, flat top smokers, pizza ovens, doesn't matter. What was it?
Ooh, boy, there was a lot of great stuff. I'm trying to think what my favorite was. Probably, you know, that Gather was one of my favorites. That was one of the top ones, because it was just so well engineered. And to have a barbecue grill top that rotates over heat and works smoothly when it's hot, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because there's bearings and all that stuff in there, and it worked really well. That was good. And boy, you know, I think that's one of them right there. There was a piece of lawn furniture that I went, oh, that's cool. And that's unusual in the outside space. That was a, you know, your typical, you know, Chase lounge that folds up, you take to the beach. This was one that's cool, but they cut out the head of it where you would put your head, and made a pad there so you could actually lay down like it was a massage or a chiropractor table in reed. And it had a face thing there that you could either put your head on, your face on. So you could literally be sitting there reading, laying on your stomach, laying down flat and not, you know, keep your head straight. So I thought that was really cool too. And I'm like, wow, I got a cocktail laying on my stomach suntanning.
Yeah, you just have a little pink spot there with a circle on it if you fell asleep, you know.
Yeah, well, it's you're face down, so you could actually, it's high enough up that you could actually read or have a cocktail underneath there while you're laying on your face, because they cut out that opening for your face like you were on a massage table or a cracker table. So they cut it out. And then when you sat backwards, that was just where you laid your head on it anyway. So there was a kind of a square pad around that opening. So I was like, oh, that's pretty trick. That seemed pretty hot. Mm-hmm.
Does it come from with a magnifying glass for guys with big stomachs like mine? Because, you know, they'll put some distance between you and the printed page.
No, yeah, they cut out a hole for that, too.
I need a bigger drink. So I was wondering that same thing. So.
Yeah. No, that's good. How far has this come? Let's talk a little bit about everything now, the tools and everything at a show like this. You know, we've known each other for a while now, and every year when you go to one of these events, you come back and you kind of give me the report, and it sounds like great stuff, and it is great stuff. But just say in the last 10 years, how big are the advancements, especially on the outdoor furniture, the grills, the things that people can readily get their hands on to make their life a little nicer outside?
You know, with online shopping and stuff like that, it has made it a lot easier for that brilliant inventor to get their stuff to market. You know, from before we got into some of these online retailer stuff that we really see now, basically there was one path, and that was retail.
Right.
And or you're going into little shows or little live events, and now you've got people out there that can literally invent something, and 6 months later, it's showing up, you know, your house next day when you order it on Amazon. So I think it's really cool to see all these new products that are coming out. I mean, I've had so much stuff come across even my desk before the show. Like, I found the absolute coolest cleaning wipes for cleaning up your barbecue that works awesome. And they're so easy and inexpensive, where you didn't see that kind of stuff. You wouldn't see that specialty kind of stuff. You'd see,
right,
hey, you've got your hand cleaning wipes for the shop and use it anywhere. Uh-huh. And now you've got it where, you know, there's probably 6 or 8 companies out there doing it for just barbecue. So it seems like there's so many more new products out there, and people are really dialing into that kind of niche bit with products that I think is pretty cool.
Uh-huh. So which ones garner the most interest? The ones that are, I'll just put it this way, the way I would normally say it, the cheaper ones that you would see at a big box store, or the better quality, higher end, mid to level or higher grills, cookers, whatever they're looking at, which ones you could tell you were there when you went to a booth, was the $199 grill getting a lot of attention as a loss leader for somebody, or was it more of the $800, whatever it might be?
You know, I think innovation was the key. So a lot of people weren't walking by going, oh, that's a $199 grill. And quite frankly, the $199, $299, $399 grill people, except for the big guys, were pretty much ghost towns compared to the ones that had the innovation, the gathers, the pizza oven guys that were sitting there cooking the pizzas and handing them out. You know, there was a lot of food getting passed out. The briefcase style, you know, barbecue, the stuff that was innovative. And sometimes it was a $5,000 grill that was getting more attention than the $199 grill.
Right.
But it was so cool that people went, okay, that's neat. The other thing that I did see, if I was going to say a trend there, is that, you know, if you look back here 6, 7, 8 years ago, like the Hestons and those guys out there that had all the lighted, you know, dials and knobs, and everything's lit up now. Now you're seeing that in the $299, $399 categories now, where you're starting to see that kind of stuff. So
yeah,
those you're definitely seeing those, what were 5 to 10 years ago, high-end features pushing down at a lower price level to get those to kind of try to emulate that. I mean, you still grab it and the quality's not there, but it's got a red LED light around the ring of the knob, you know?
So yeah,
you're seeing more of that.
Well, you know, that's actually important because I think because a lot of people go out and, you know, if they're going to cook dinner and it gets dark and whatever, and a lot of people's backyards and patios are not wired for big time lights. You know, you just don't see it a lot, especially people that buy used homes. And I say that tongue in cheek there, but a lot of the older homes, you would have to do a lot of construction. This is your bailiwick there, Eric, to rewire stuff to get it out there. And so when these grills and cookers come with the lights on them, I mean, they're not like a Klieg light on the theater stage, but they help so you can see what you're doing. Leanne, what do you think?
I agree. It's funny. I go back to what you were talking about outdoor cooking, because I was cooking grouper and it got dark out there and I couldn't see. And there were those little lights that were strung up and it wasn't cutting. I don't know. Is there a lot more outdoor lighting stuff coming? I mean, you talked about the little lights under the umbrellas, but I mean, significant light, like you, so you can really see. Do you see any trends or new things coming out for that?
You know, a lot of that stuff traditionally right now I'm seeing is more built into the outdoor building part of itself. You know, there are definitely some outdoor lights out there. You're seeing a lot of new smart string lights that are coming out now that you can put around that barbecue area. I saw one that I just got an email about today that's coming out that you can control the color temperature of the light. You can control how much, you know, all what's going on. You can make them purple, green, red, or if you want it to be yellow.
Play to music.
Yeah, basically, they'll do whatever you want it to do. You know, you're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that's cool. You're starting to see that. Do you want them to move to the music? Like you were saying, they'll actually, you know, if you start getting the bass going out there, you can hit a button, it'll go to that. So you're seeing a lot of different lights, but they're more of the, you know, what I'd call the $50 to $100 string light sets versus its own standalone. You know, there's also a ton of heaters out there that you're seeing now too, that are small, medium, and large for patio heaters, whether it's a little tiny, you know, almost like the little solo stoves that you see out there, but a small version that you could put on the countertop of your outdoor kitchen or next to your barbecue or something like that.
How about air conditioners?
A ton of misters now. There was a ton of misters out there. There was a guy that had misters there where they had them on the fronts of fans that you could mount out that were cool that you just plugged in. I mean, they had misting water bottles. You squeeze the thing on and it sprays up water out of your water bottle to you. Hmm. I asked him what happens if you put vodka in there and he laughed. So,
no. Well, that's not funny. That's serious.
Yeah.
Multifunctional.
Multifunctional doing next to the barbecue, right? That's the thing. I was like, that could be dangerous if you're misting next to.
And Eric, by the way, I think that's grouper right behind Leanne's head there.
It is. That's black and a grouper.
Yeah. It just really looks good. When I first saw it, I thought it was a peach for some reason. I don't know why. I think weird. But I did that. We're going to come back in a couple of minutes and finish this show with Eric G. He's going to stick around. We're going to make a reasonably short after hours this week because Leanne's got to go try on some new golf shoes for the other show here. But we're going to take
show
a break.
Is that?
Well, it's grilling at the green. AT. Like
not
yours
grilling
around the
on the green. Grilling at the green.
Yeah. Wondering how you're repairing the greens. That was my
No, I got a little divot tool in my pocket. We'll be back in a few minutes. Please stay with us. Hey, everybody, it's JT. You know, I talk about Painted Hills all the time, and we always say beef the way nature intended, but it's more than that, because each bite of Painted Hills will make your taste buds explode, put a big, bright smile on your face, and whoever is at your dinner table will have a big, bright smile on their face, and you can thank me for that later. Just go to PaintedHillsBeef.com and find out more. You won't regret it. Hey, everybody, JT here. I want to tell you about Hammerstahl knives. Hammerstahl combines German steel with beautiful and functioning designs. They're part of the Heritage Steel Group, which also does their pots and pans. So go to heritagesteel.us. Check out the Hammerstahl knives. If you're really into cooking, I think you're really going to like them. Welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Leanne Whippet, Hall of Famer, I might add, if you didn't know that. She has a long and sacred history in the world of barbecue. Plus, she beat Bobby Flay a couple times. So if you ever read Leanne's resume, what my resume, it's a quite distinctive resume.
Wabbit season.
Yeah, Wabbit. She's done a lot. And then we've got Eric G with us from Around the House. You can go to around the house.com.
AroundTheHouseOnline.com.
Okay, you can do that. Eric's always posting tips and tricks, and his shows are full of great ideas, kind of start to finish. And it doesn't, you know, of course, the way they cut the shows and put them together, but he does take you step by step and gives you the good background. Like, you know, if you're going to rip up
and how not to make mistakes,
how not to make mistakes like that. Mm-hmm. And besides that, we cause a lot of trouble. Eric and I are known as the part of the Portland radio mafia. So
yeah, the leaders,
Mm-hmm. El Consigliori. Anyway,
exactly.
Yeah. Eric just got back from the hardware show in Vegas, the National Hardware Show. And a lot of fun stuff there. How was it just business wise? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the economy, and I don't want to get too far off in the weeds on this stuff, but you know, usually when those big trade shows like that, people are pretty fired up. They have to want to come there. It's not something they just stumble onto. And so they're looking at things, and they're serious business people, and they're doing that. And of course the manufacturers there, they're serious and all that, but there's always seems to be an air in those shows, and all three of us have seen it. And was it good? Was it positive? Was it moving forward, or was it a bit of hesitation?
You know, I think first off, I think we doubled the liquor sales of Las Vegas that week. That was
positive. A good thing.
Local economy, but business wise there, I think it was really solid. You know, it's interesting, and there's different facets to all this, right? When you're sitting there looking at it, like there was an inventors area, which I thought was really cool. They had somebody coming in from Shark Tank. They were kind of doing a Shark Tank thing there, but the bad part of the inventors area is there were some really, really cool products in there that I fell in love with. But the bad part of it too, is these guys are all trying to get their first sale. So it was like walking in, being the only person walking into a multi-level marketing convention and you were the only person in the room. I felt like you had to have an excuse to get out of the room within a couple minutes when you were in there. Because otherwise you had 30 people trying to take 20 minutes of your time. So that was really aggressive. But once you got in there, there were some killer products. But overall, I think business was good. It was not a super, super busy show, but it was busy enough for people to have solid business conversations in that. And there was definitely business being made. And I think a lot of that comes down to, one, the economy, and two, not a lot of people are selling their homes right now. So they're really going, okay, what can I do to make this mine? Because I really don't want to have a 7.5% interest rate on the house that I'm buying.
Right, right.
Since I've got 3 on the one I got, I can't afford to buy another one right now. So I think there's still a push of people creating their own space, like an extension of what it was during, you know, COVID. I think there's still just an extension of that going on. And it's tough. Unless you're moving out of area, I don't see a lot of people doing the house upgrade just on interest rates alone.
No. One thing I wanted to ask you about too, in the backyard stuff, did you see any people there with like pergola, you know? That's some in our neck of the woods, that's important. And also like in Leanne's, because they've got humidity and bugs and different things.
Sun.
Mm-hmm. You got a lot of that. You've got more than your share of sun down there in the Sunshine State.
Yeah. But there was a lot of those there. There was probably 7 or 8 big booths of stuff that looked really good. Some of them had some cool kind of shutters that would open up in the top, and then you could turn them so they came down and they would seal. So you had a completely, you could kind of control them almost, you know, that way. That was cool. There was a lot of cool new sheds and buildings that were kind of like outbuildings that were pre-made kits that looked really good. There was a Japanese company there that, you could literally do a whole complete outdoor living space that was detached, like a very large shed, but was gorgeous, had this kind of more modern look to it that would look great in anybody's backyard. So there's a lot of stuff like that in the metal and composite building space for pergolas, you know, pool house buildings, whatever. There was a lot of pre-made stuff that was cool.
What's your thoughts on pergolas? As far as regarding outdoor kitchens, I'm kind of in favor of them. I know, you know, if you and I lived in a different climate, and Arizona, you would have them for a different reason, which is the sun damage to things and too hot, like, you know, where Leanne lives. Up here, it's more to keep the, you know, the moisture off of you, the snow and the bats or whatever.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get your take on that.
I think they're great. I think, you know, similar to down in Florida and similar in the Pacific Northwest, they got to be built pretty solid to take the winds when those windstorms come up or hurricanes or anything else. The last thing you need is that rolling across, landing up inside your house or your house. So I think you got to build them great. I think there's a lot of great metal or metal and wood kits out there that are really cool. There's some of these ones now that are really nice that where you take your own lumber, so you don't have to pay for this thing to be shipped. So they'll take like 6x6 lumber, but they came up with these cool metal corners and brackets. So you can go to your lumber yard, buy the wood, but use these big brackets that they send you, which basically the posts slide into. Mm-hmm. And you're not paying, you know, thousands of dollars to ship something to your house where, you know, you've got hundreds of UPS fees. And so you can buy the wood locally and do that. And then you can use whatever wood you want. So there's a lot of different things like that, as well as a lot of new clear panels and stuff that you're starting to see out there that can be really cool across the top that doesn't look like a 1977 green patio, you know?
Yeah, I saw some recently, and I know they've been around for a while, but they had the remote control where they have the fine mesh sides for bugs, or, and it also blocks the sun a little bit like that, that, you know, you can seal them up like that or open them up depending on the weather.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. Now you've got those screen door kits that, where the screens will roll up like a roller blind. They'll go down into a track and you can screen off the whole pergola. You could add that to your outdoor kitchen. You could add to that. There's also ones that a company here locally to us, Cascade Coil, makes that are like the, you know, your coil fireplace screen, that coiled metal.
Right.
But they make them out of different colors of anodized aluminum and things like that. And you could put that around the area there, which keeps a lot of the bugs and driving rain out of there as well. So you could actually use that that coil like a shower, like a almost like a shower curtain. The water will just run right off of it. So 90% of the water doesn't come through. So there's a lot of things like that that work pretty good. And it'll also cut down the wind, but still give you some airflow, not like you are inside of a tent.
Yeah, I'm all for them. Not that I don't like the sun. I do like the sun. But as far as when you spend a lot of money in Florida or in the Northwest where we're at, and you spend a lot of money on an outdoor kitchen, it seems to me rather foolish just to let it sit out and either bake or freeze. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest mistakes I see people when they're doing their DIY outdoor kitchens is they're using the quartz countertops that you use inside your house. And none of that stuff is UV rated. So they put in the beautiful white marble looking quartz countertop that's, you know, $100 a square foot or whatever out there, that's really nice. But 6 months to 2 years later, it's now bright smoker's tooth yellow because all the epoxy's yellowed out on it. They wonder what the heck happened. And it's wrong product, guys. You should have done granite.
Or I love that. Smoker's tooth yellow. Yeah, we'll get emails about that. Trust me. Anyway, we got to get out of here. Eric is going to stick around for after hours. We've been talking with Eric G from Around the House today. Lay your website on him one more time before we go.
All right. AroundTheHouseOnline.com.
Very good. For Leanne and Eric, thank you for listening. Oh, by the way, we also want to thank the Oregon Crab Commission. We talked about them, but I didn't formally thank them. If you've never had Oregon or Northwest Dungeness crab, you got to try it. I love it. Leanne steals it when she's here. So we'll be back next week with another edition of Barbecue Nation. Till then, remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.
Barbecue Nation is produced by JTSD LLC Productions in association with Salem Media Group. All rights reserved.